Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 370. Tonight we'll be talking Raw and NXT highlights. With me tonight is Seth Zillman. Seth, how the hell are you?
Well, it's we got a heat wave here in Chicagoland area. I think it's over 0 degrees now, so that's an improvement over a couple days ago.
Yeah,
and I also just I can't help but think of just how our wrestling geek brains works. But I heard the story of Hulk Hogan rescuing a woman from a car accident, and obviously, you know, good on Hulk for doing that. You know, it's a great story, but I can't help but picture, like, you know, maybe he tore the door off as Real American starts playing, and then he pulls the gal out of the car to safety and then rips off his shirt and just does his posing. I know that probably didn't happen, but it would have made for a nice visual if it did.
Airbags, what you gonna do when the largest Bic pen in the world pops you, brother? But I digress. So there's only really one news item. Another item is pending, but we'll get to that at the end of the Raw review. Cora Jade of NXT, unfortunately, at a live event on Friday, tore her ACL and will be out for 9 months. And this sucks because she just came back a couple of weeks ago from a four-month hiatus, and now she'll be out for another nine. The horrible irony here is earlier in the match, she feigned a knee injury for getting heel heat and getting the advantage. Unfortunately, she had a real knee injury by the end.
Wow. And that is one of those things, because like you said, she had just come back, so you got that natural story that can be told. And then you get hurt again. And I mean, that's just got to really suck. I remember several years back, I think it was Chris Sabin. It's like he tore out one knee, was out for several months. And then like his first match back after coming from that injury, he tears the other knee. And, you know, all told, I think he was out for like a year and a half. So hopefully it won't be that long for her. I've never had a torn ACL, but I've talk to people who have, and just how much it sucks, because if I understand it right, since it's ligaments, there's no real pain involved. It's just, you just can't walk on your leg because your knee just buckles. Your knee just gives out.
Right. And I've heard people say they hear it pop and they know right away. But yeah, that's just got to be a kick to the gut. I mean, that's just brutal. I don't know if she was scheduled to win tonight's Battle Royal for a number one contendership and they had to call an audible, but she definitely was scheduled to participate. Moving on to Raw, and we do wish Cora the speediest of recoveries, but moving on to Raw kicked off with Cody Rhodes, had a little promo segment, but what's a promo segment without an interruption? And he was interrupted by Drew McIntyre. They had a back and forth about how they both had similar career paths, both left the WWE, kicked ass on the indies, and were hired back by WWE.
Basically, I totally forgot that they were tag team champions at one point.
Yeah. Drew does bring up their old tag team. He kind of makes fun of it because he asked Cody if he remembers what the team name was. And Cody says, the Dashing Ones. And Drew says, yeah, the Dashing Ones. I'm surprised we didn't make it all the way to the top with that name.
Yeah.
Basically, it's, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble. No, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble. And then Cody has a mic drop moment to end the segment by saying, you talk about our pasts, and we had one match against each other before you came back to WWE. But Drew, just remember who won that match.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was a match in TNA or Impact.
No, it was actually WCPW in England just before that promotion folded. But that was their last match right before Drew came back to WWE.
Okay, because I remember there was that time they both had a stint in Impact.
Yeah.
And I think I'd said it before when they were doing the feud again in WWE. That was one of the few times you could say Impact did something better than WWE was when Drew was feuding with Bobby Lashley. Right. It's like Impact actually did that feud better than WWE did, which is probably low praise, but you know, alas.
We had an R-Truth segment backstage with Damian Priest. Damian trying to tell R-Truth that the crew is not happy with him, and he's out here selling bootleg Judgment Day merchandise in the parking lot, and tells R-Truth that he needs to get serious, right as R-Truth puts a wad of hundreds into Damian's hands and says, mm-hmm. Something along the lines of, that's pretty serious right there. And Damian's like, what's this? He's like, that's your cut, DP. He goes, everybody in the Judgment Day gets a cut. And the funny thing here is that R-Truth and his new Judgment Day merchandise is now the top merchandise seller. So A, he's not selling bootlegs. It's real. And B, he is making all that money because he's the top merch seller.
Yeah, this is one of those things where it just shows that I think there will always be, at least hopefully, a spot for R-Truth in WWE, because not everybody could make this shtick work. I mean, to be able to pull off some of the cornball comedy that he does, but you know, he's got the knack for it. I'm assuming they're just going to keep going where he's like going to like claim to be a part of every stable in WWE history, you know, so you can sell merch with that stuff as well. You know, but it's cool to see that he's kind of, it's almost like he never left, you know, because he also had an injury and was out forever.
Right.
So, but it's like he's back, and it's like he's never left. It's like he's just as funny as he was before.
Yeah. DIY defeated the Judgment Day combination of Dirty Dom and JD McDonagh. They showed an earlier today segment where Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell were talking backstage with Adam Pearce, trying to get an opportunity. They were interrupted by Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. Chelsea complaining that there is a poor counting referee and the referee doesn't know how to count. And when he did, it was slow, and they demand a rematch. And Pearce says, rematch? You had a rematch and you lost. Candice and Indy step up and say they'd be willing to accept and take that challenge. And so he books Candice and Indy versus Chelsea and Piper. And that match happens next. Candice and Indy defeat Chelsea and Piper. Gunther returns with Ludwig Kaiser and has a segment featuring the returning Xavier Woods, who has a bone to pick with Ludwig after he took out Kofi Kingston last week. And they have a match. Ludwig defeats Xavier by disqualification, and they have a post-match brawl similar to that of Ludwig and Kofi last week. Xavier is the one that comes up bleeding this week, and it looks like we're going to get the serious version of the New Day feuding with Imperium, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, we like the New Day when, because they can be funny, but they, when they're serious as well. I mean, we've all seen the babyface with their backs against the wall and they have to come out fighting. I mean, I'd like to see that edge to the New Day. So it's a interesting take on things.
Right. In the shock of the night, Akira Tozawa defeated Ivar.
And then
promptly Akira
beating anybody is a shocker.
Unless it's NXT, he gets that character switch when he goes to NXT. Ivar and Valhalla get revenge immediately following the match. And we're getting a match next week between Valhalla and Maxine Dupri. So Maxine versus Valhalla next week. And subsequently, we will be getting Chad Gable versus Ivar. So that should be a little bit higher on the quality spectrum.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Chad Gable and Gunther? I mean, I know they had their matches, but they were teasing like there was going to be another rematch.
Yeah. They never circled back to that.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley segment. Strong segment. Interrupted by Becky Lynch. The one thing I hated about this segment is they just walked around the ring in circles and circled each other and circled each other and circled each other. And I was getting dizzy. I'm like, please, for the love of God, stop. But they did have a good promo. Becky said that, you know, they're from, they have a similar career trajectory. Both girls from foreign lands coming to WWE, making a name for themselves. One is big and strong, and the other one has the heart of a lion. And Becky stays awake at night with voices in her head. She must think she's Randy Orton, that say she is one of the best, but she's not sure she can beat Rhea. And in order to prove that to herself, she has to take the title from Rhea. In order to do that, she has to win the Royal Rumble. And Rhea's response is very simple. She says, Becky, there is only one person who wants you to win the Royal Rumble more than you do, and that's me. I'll see you at WrestleMania. Mic drop, walks off.
Yep, yep. So, I mean, there, that does kind of, I don't want to say gives it away, but it definitely dangles it like that's what's going to happen, which, of course, could make it interesting if she doesn't win the Rumble, because there's always another way they can do it, because I'm assuming whoever wins the Women's Rumble, they can just challenge for the other brand's belt, and they can find another way to get Becky her shot at Rhea. So,
yeah, and I think it comes down to a matter of, do you want a face to win or do you want a heel to win? Or a heel that's slowly becoming a babyface or soon to be a babyface, whatever the case may be. If Becky wins, you can tell a story to get Bayley to Io. If Bayley wins, you can, you already have a story that can get Becky to Rhea, so that's not a big deal. Either way is not a big deal. It's just who you pull the trigger with for the Rumble. The Judgment Day combination of the tag champs, Finn and Priest, defeat Awesome Truth. And this is hilarious in so many ways that almost have nothing to do with the match. Truth comes out trailing behind the Judgment Day during Judgment Day's introduction. Judgment Day poses in the ring, and he comes up from behind, puts his shoulders around the champs, and they pose together. And Miz is like, you're on my team. You're with me. Get over here. And it's just funny throughout the whole match. Even they are building something with Damian Priest, because Damian Priest does hit South of Heaven onto R-Truth to get the win. But you could see in his face that he did not want to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see if they turn Damian face and if they end up kicking him out of Judgment Day.
Yeah, it's what kind of what I figured they were leaning towards, is him going babyface again. I don't know if he'll do anything with Truth after that, but I think it's just the type of thing is maybe Truth's just so darn likable as the wannabe, what's the word, minion. You know, maybe that's another way of looking at it, but
maybe he's the comedy catalyst to turn him face. I don't know.
Yeah.
In another women's tag team match, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark defeat Natalya and Tegan Nox. While they haven't gone too crazy with the women's division, I do like that they're kind of, instead of women just sitting, I like that they're building the champ, the challenger, maybe a secondary challenger, and then everybody else is tag teams to try to give the tag team division some credibility. And if you keep mixing in teams and matches, then nobody has to sit for a long period of time. Nobody misses TV.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And in the main event, Seth Rollins defeated Jinder Mahal to retain the WWE World Heavyweight title. Unfortunately, they thought it was cute if they gave Jinder a bunch of close near falls that nearly sent me into palpitations. And I was having flashbacks of Backlash 2017, but or 2018, whatever year it was. But Seth pulled it out in the end. Unfortunately, during that match, he did tweak his knee his left knee, and it was reported that after the show, he was able to put weight on it, but he was noticeably limping. He is scheduled for more tests on Wednesday. It is currently Tuesday as we record. If we hear more about it, obviously we'll bring it to you on Thursday's episode. But Bully Ray of Busted Open Radio tweeted out that he doesn't think that it looks good for Seth's knee, but he hopes that he's proven wrong. Nobody has more experience than Bully Ray, so I'm hoping that he's wrong as well, because that would throw the title picture and the road to WrestleMania into a bit of chaos.
Yeah, because it seems like they were hinting at Punk versus Seth for the world title at Mania. That seemed to be where all the arrows were pointing. So I'm assuming if he is on the shelf for a couple months, they will have to hold the title up. Maybe they'll just declare a new champion at Mania. I don't know. But hopefully we'll find out soon when, hopefully, like I said, it's a mild injury instead of a severe one.
What if they called a super audible of making the winner of the Rumble the new world champion, and then you could make anybody the champion? Doesn't even have to be Punk or Cody. You could give it to somebody who will then lose it to Punk, perhaps, at Mania. That would be interesting, to say the least.
Yep. Although there'd probably be people that would be expecting then that champion to fight Roman, but you know, we're pretty sure Roman's going to have his hands full with The Rock.
All is up in the air and TBD. Mm-hmm. But we move on now to NXT, and neither of us really saw much of this show. I saw a little bit of it while I was in between some things tonight. I did read the results. In the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic quarterfinals, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams defeated Malik Blade and Idris Anofe.
Anofe, I believe it's pronounced.
Yeah. So we then heard from new North American champion Oba Femi. This guy, I saw this segment. This guy, he's bigger than Keith Lee. Like, he's taller. He's just a mountain of a man. Still green, you can tell in his promos, but he's Nigerian. Please don't throw him into a feud with Apollo Crews just because of that. But he could be anybody's bodyguard, but he's his own man here. And we will have to see how he goes on with this title reign. But the man is definitely a physical specimen. And if they hide his weaknesses and accentuate his strengths, he could be a force.
Sounds like it's another case of it being a good thing that Vince is not part of creative, because it sounds like the guy Vince would probably want main eventing like the next night on the main shows.
Yeah. He'd probably tag him with Omos.
Yeah.
Or he'd be Omos's twin or long lost brother or some bullshit like that. Yeah. We had Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley defeat Lola Vice and Electra Lopez. Two things I'll say about this. One, in the entrance, Lyra did her entrance, and then Tatum came out of the crowd dressed exactly like Lyra. I'm like, oh, we're getting another stalker crazy person storyline. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then as far as Lola and Electra go, a few months ago, maybe even a year ago, they were speaking mostly Spanish or with a Spanish accent or Hispanic accent. And tonight they were damn near perfect English. And I'm like, are you related to Kofi Kingston? What the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. Another match for the Dusty Classic quarterfinals. The LWO, Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde, defeated Duke Hudson and Riley Osborne of Chase U. So they will go on and meet Hayes and Trick next week in the semifinals. Ridge Holland defeated Joe Coffey. Brief mention of Josh Briggs being backstage, and he's greeted by JBL, who tells him to find out who Josh Briggs is, because that is going to be his key to success. He has all the talent in the world, but he needs to find out who he is so he can tell other people who he is. I like this, that they have random legends show up and give advice to NXT standouts.
Yeah, so, that's how you give guys rubs, is to have them interact with people that are more popular and better than they are.
Yeah, if you do this, more of this, it'll definitely show results for sure. And in the two-part main event, the first part was a 20-woman battle royal for the number one contendership. The winner of the entire thing would be challenging Lyra Valkyria at Vengeance Day in 2 weeks. But the final four participants would then commence into a fatal four-way match. So the final four determined were Roxanne Perez, Fallon Henley, Kiana James, and Kalani Jordan. And the winner of the four-way, taking on Lyra Valkyria and participating in a contract signing next week, is the woman who was never defeated for her title, Roxanne Perez. I don't know if they're going to pull the plug on Lyra's title reign this quickly, but she is like the epitome of the build was way better than her reign, because she was interesting leading up to her matches with Becky, but I could care less since she won the title.
I hate to make the analogy because it's probably going to sound meaner than it's intended to, but that happened a lot with Sting, you know, where it's like, him challenging for the title was great because he plays such a good underdog. Obviously, we're talking probably before the Crow Sting and all that. But it's like when he won the title and was no longer an underdog, him reigning as champion wasn't quite as cool as him challenging for the titles. So I hope I'm making sense with that analogy, but it sounds like it's kind of the same thing there.
Yeah, it just goes to show the life of a babyface is not always as great as it appears to be. It's how you book that babyface champion. And some people, and just to tie this into a higher level, some people believe that to be the fate of Cody Rhodes. If he were to beat Roman Reigns, whenever that may happen, whether it's WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Backlash in Paris, whatever. How would he be booked moving forward? And is he popular enough to be the face of the WWE as the ultimate champion? Yeah. Obviously, he's very popular. I have a feeling, though, if you don't pull the trigger at Mania, the backlash, no pun intended, might be too much to overcome 2 years in a row.
Right, because you can't have your Dragon Slayer fail regularly and expect people to get behind him again.
Right. Just like in other sports, a rivalry is no longer a rivalry when you get your ass handed to you on a regular basis.
Right. Yeah. One of the reasons the Hulkamania era worked so well is because, well, Hogan, I mean, if he lost, it was because it was a major screw job.
Adversity.
It's probably not fair to compare Cody to Hogan, but I think it's for analogy purposes. If you're going to make him into a dragon slayer, he has to keep slaying dragons.
Right. It's babyface comparison only.
Yeah.
All right. That is Raw and NXT this week.
I think the tomato still has a few seconds on it, right?
No, we're a little bit beyond, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Not a big deal. Well, hopefully we'll have an update on Seth on our next episode. Seth Rollins, not Seth, who I'm talking to, obviously.
I can give you an update right now, and the update is that there is no update in my life. So,
and your knees are fine.
Right, yeah. They still crack sometimes going upstairs, but yeah, that's
to be expected.
That's just age, yeah.
Yeah, so if we hear anything on Seth Rollins, we'll obviously bring it to you on Thursday's episode. Hopefully he's able to withstand this. It would suck if his knee blew out again. It'd be 8 years later from his 2015 knee blowout. I don't think it was that. It didn't seem as bad as that. He was able to finish this match. The previous match 8 years ago, he was not.
Yeah. I believe the other one is like he couldn't walk at all on it.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. Hopefully better news will prevail. Any final thoughts?
Cheap self-plugs here, as I'll be putting out another episode of Geekville Radio up soon, talking all the Star Wars movies to come for anybody that might be a Star Wars fan on top of being a wrestling fan.
All I can say is, unfortunately, I had to open my document for my Royal Rumble predictions, and I had to remove Cora Jade as a surprise entrant, because that obviously will no longer happen. So, looking forward to that Rumble prediction show, but we still got a couple of episodes before we get there, and just enjoying the wrestling scene. Tomorrow's Dynamite. We'll see how that goes. And until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordXandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.